Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Sunday, Packers fans. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Of course, you can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can find us 365 days a year, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, as well as over on YouTube. Thanks so much for checking us out today. It's a fun one today. I'm going to be talking about two of my favorite players in this draft, Maxwell Harrison and Jahdae Barron, two corners, and it should probably go without saying why we'd want to take a look at corners for Green Bay in this draft. You're looking, at least as I was looking at this just moments ago, at the most recent betting odds. Corner is number two on the list, behind only defensive end slash defensive tackle. Corner is number two at plus 190. Beyond that, beyond the betting favorites or things like that, you can get to this pretty easy conclusion as to why Green Bay would consider a corner in the first round. But let's just say it's complicated. This corner room for right now is clouded by the entire Jaire Alexander situation and what ends up happening with that. That is the biggest Pandora's box of questions that is almost impossible to answer right now, or that are impossible to answer right now. Is he going to be on the team? Is he going to take a pay cut? Is he going to be released? Is he going to be traded? If he's on the team, can he stay healthy? If he's on the team and he stays healthy, what level is he playing at? Like, it is just a endless string of questions and almost no answers. You have no idea at this point. Even if he's back, what version of Jaire are you getting? Is he motivated? Does he want to be here? It's just this huge elephant in the room at corner. And as I still stand by, I don't think he's going to be a Green Bay Packer in 2025. Said it from the beginning. I'll say it again right now. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. This has been a crazy as the Jaire turns scenario. And whatever happens at this point is still somewhat unpredictable. And that reason is why Green Bay has this very intriguing corner situation. It's not just that, but that's the biggest one. You have this huge question in Jaire of what's going to happen with him. Keyshawn Nixon is going to be back and he feels like he can be corner one. Seems like Green Bay might agree. He's kind of in that spot right now. They go out and sign Nate Hobbs to a pretty sizable contract coming over from the Raiders to be another corner. You have Carrington Valentine coming back. And then you don't really have any true corners after that that you can count on at this point. You know, you lose a few of them in free agency, you know, whether it be Eric Stokes, Corey Ballantyne, Robert Rochelle, they're all gone. You have Kalen King, Kamal Haddon that are still on that depth chart. A few other, you know, kind of back of the roster type players. Javon Bullard, I'm sure, is going to be very much in the conversation for that slot position again. But as true corners go, if Jaire's gone, it's Nixon, Valentine, and Hobbs, and that's it. At least that's all you're counting on at this point. I don't think you can count on Jaire at this point, and I certainly don't think you're counting on Kalen King or Kamal Haddon at this point. So you kind of have three. That's it. And that's why probably Green Bay is plus 190 to take a corner in the first round in this draft or have it be their first pick. There are two corners, as I mentioned, that we're going to talk about today, Jahdae Barron and Max Harrison, two very different types of corners, two very different flavors. If you like, a do-it-all defensive back who can play in the slot, play outside, does that sound familiar to Green Bay fans right now with the corners they have on this team? That is a playmaker. An alpha that has more interceptions than touchdowns allowed in his career. Technically, both of them do. But Jahdae Barron might be your guy. Max Harrison, if you want a more true outside corner that has unbelievable freakish speed, well, Max Harrison might be your guy. We'll go over both of these in great detail today, but it is a very interesting corner position. Not only do they, I'm sure, like and want more high-end competition at corner on this team, you need bodies too. And that's another aspect of this. So very interesting cornerback room right now in Green Bay. Would be better and more interesting if Jahdae Barron or Max Harrison were members of that room as well. It is sort of the calm before the storm right now. There's no other pieces of news or notes or information that's going on. So we are lucky enough to be able to jump right into those deep dive breakdowns. So let's start with Jahdae Barron. He's a 5'11", 194-pound cornerback out of the University of Texas. He is a true senior, 23 years old. He is a little bit older than what Green Bay usually does in the draft. They're usually 22 or younger. He doesn't turn 24 until December. That is something that you at least have to consider, that he's going to be turning 24 years old this season. It's not the end of the world. He is certainly somebody that is well-seasoned, that has played a lot in college at a big-time program, and he's ready to come in and play right now. But that is noteworthy still, that he is going to be 24 during the course of the season and in 2025. At an 8.64 relative athletic score, 5'10 and a half, 194 pounds, was 50th percentile in height, 73rd percentile for weight, 56th percentile in the vertical jump, 70th percentile in the broad jump, 94th percentile in the 40-yard dash with a 4.39 40, 79th percentile in the 10-yard split, 72nd percentile in the short shuttle, and 54th percent in the three cone. The only one that he tested sort of kind of off the charts on was the 40 with a 4.39 40, 94th percentile. Everything else, though, is above average. He is not below 50% at anything that he did the testing on, and he tested at pretty much everything. So that's a really good sign that there's just no major flaw here. He did not do the bench press, but other than that, we got a really good idea of who Barron is with the testing that he actually went out and did. Interestingly enough, his top athletic comp at safety, or as defensive back, I should say, is Darnell Savage. Now, hold on. Before anyone gets any of like, oh, I'm out. I don't know. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. They are nothing alike. They are nothing alike with how they play the game. All right. Just athletically, he had a similar sort of workout and everything to Darnell Savage. The reason that's semi-important is because, well, Green Bay spent a first-round pick on Darnell Savage. In fact, traded up to go get him. So noteworthy that this athletic profile has been drafted by Brian Gutekunst in the past. And now, in my opinion, you have a much better actual player here in Jahdae Barron than what Darnell Savage was even coming out of college as a prospect. Barron is 11th on Daniel Jeremiah's big board. He was a first-team All-American, first-team All-SEC, Jim Thorpe Award winner for the nation's best corner, or best defensive back, I should say, finalist for the Bronco Nagurski Award for the nation's best defender, and was the Peach Bowl MVP. That is stacking up success in your final season before you go pro. First-team All-American, first-team SEC, Jim Thorpe Award winner, finalist for the Bronco Nagurski, Peach Bowl MVP. Not too freaking shabby, Jahdae Barron. Played 57 games in his career at Texas. This past year, he played in 16, had 67 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 5 picks, 11 pass breakups, and 1 fumble recovery. So he had the production and productivity as well from that defensive back position. In his career, played 57 games, 226 tackles, 21 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 8 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, 24 pass breakups, 3 fumble recoveries, and a forced fumble. So it was definitely, again, having that high-end productivity throughout his time in Texas, and again, has a lot of playing time, a lot of snaps accumulated, not in like a, he's played a lot, he's going to be injury-prone standpoint, but he's got good experience from his time at Texas. This past year, 971 snaps, this is per PFF, by the way, 90.7 defensive grade, 83.4 in run defense, 91.1 in coverage. His grades over his time at Texas had a 64.3, 77.3, 76.9, 71.5, and then this past year, a 90.7 grade at his best season of his college career, which is exactly what you want to see, is that growth through his time in college. In 2024, he had 541 coverage snaps. He was targeted 69 times, only 37 completions allowed on those 69 targets, which is absurd. 53.6% completion percentage, 284 yards allowed, 0 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 33.7. Hello, 33.7 quarterback rating when targeted. Literally better basically just taking the ball and throwing it into the dirt than throwing at Jahdae Barron. Pretty freaking remarkable. In his career, targeted 241 times, 141 receptions, 58.5 percentage, or completion percentage, 1,128 yards, 2 touchdowns allowed, 8 picks. In 5 seasons, the best passer rating that he allowed in any season was an 81.0 in 2023. And by the way, that is fantastic. I mean, just ridiculous numbers for Jahdae Barron. This was the scouting report from Daniel Jeremiah. Barron is a talented Swiss Army knife. He lined outside, in the slot, and in the box as a dime linebacker for the Longhorns. He made impact plays in every game I studied. He's a quicker than fast athlete with outstanding eyes and conviction. He's at his best when he can play off and see through receivers to the quarterback. He reads the quarterback's drop and anticipates to beat pass catchers to the ball. He doesn't waste steps and has outstanding hands. He lacks elite top speed, which is interesting because he had a 4.39 40. If you read Dane Brugler, lacks top end speed. If you read the NFL.com one on him as well, lacks top end speed, was a 4.39 40. In my notes, before I checked the RAS, lacks top end speed. We'll talk about that, but it's interesting. But he's always in position, and he's excellent at locating and playing the football downfield. He has good timing and feel as a blitzer. He can adjust from pass to run defense to collect tackles. His batting average as a tackler in space is very high. Overall, Barron excels at taking the ball away and reminds me of Brian Branch when he was coming out of Alabama. And that is all per Daniel Jeremiah over at NFL.com. All right, positives for Barron. These are my observations, both positives and negatives. Start with the positives. He's a modern NFL defensive back who can line up everywhere. We kind of heard that from Daniel Jeremiah as well, but you can line him up outside in the slot. I actually think you could be play him at safety as well. And then you can line him up even as an off-ball linebacker in obvious passing situations as well. So a ton of versatility with where you can play out on the field. I also think he can succeed in all phases. He's a good tackler. He's good in coverage, good in run defense, good as a blitzer. There's no part of his game where you're like, well, he covers great, but he can't tackle. Or like he comes up and plays aggressive, but the coverage down the field is leaky. He has it all. He's been able to do everything in college, and I think all of it's going to be able to translate to the NFL. He can succeed in all coverages, whether it's man, zone, off, press. It does not matter. He does have the ability to win. Didn't see a ton of man coverage, but I have the feel that he can do a lot of it or do it very well. And as he does more of it, is going to continue to get better and better and better. Production in college was fantastic. 4.39 40 is great. Now, again, whether he played up to that, we'll talk about that in the negatives, but still 4.39 40 is nothing to ignore. We'll put it that way. Has great instincts, good enough change of direction. He can play and tackle in the open field, and he gives good effort as a tackler. So it's one thing to give good effort. It's another to actually execute. He does both. He's a willing tackler. He's a capable tackler, and he can go out and get the job done. He's a playmaker. We saw with the interceptions, the pass breakups, the tackles, all of it. He's got multiple touchdowns throughout his career. Like, he is just a stud alpha playmaker. And I'll add on to that by saying he has it. I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is, but you know it when you see it. And Jahde Barron, to me, has it. He has the feel for the game. He has the instincts. He has the height, weight, speed. It's just all there. To me, it is all there. Very, very talented player. There's a very high floor. He's a scheme fit for Jeff Hafley, has a very good understanding for routes and can anticipate what the receiver is going to do. And he was a team captain this past year as well. From a negative side of things, it did not feel like he played 4.39 40 fast. Fast, but not quite 4.39 40 fast. He will get a little bit grabby from time to time. Nothing that I'm worried about, but just a little bit of a note there. The question is going to be, can he be a full-time outside corner? To me, the answer is just yes. But this is sort of the Emeka Egbuka a little bit of the defensive backs, where Egbuka, you're like, yeah, I know he can play outside, but I just think he's a better slot. Like, that's where he's meant to be. With Barron, it's kind of the same. It's like, yeah, I know he can play outside, but it just feels like he should be in the slot. And that's going to be the question for Green Bay, is if you've got Bullard playing there, Nixon and Hobbs can already play in the slot. Do you want to go with another one of those guys? I think that's going to be one of the questions that they have to answer. Should Barron be there? He has non-elite change of direction, which does hinder him if he gets beat or takes a misstep. Now he's got to kind of redirect, and it does take him a little bit to get kind of reverse back and back up to speed. Now the 4.39 helps him make up for that, but the change of direction, again, not bad, right around middle percentile, but it's not elite, and that is just worth noting. And then he doesn't have ideal length either. Doesn't have long arms, doesn't have great height. It's all passable. There's no red flag here. Doesn't have short arms, isn't short. Nothing's super lanky, And as a corner, you want some of that ability to knock down passes, be a little bit bigger, and not just get mossed if you're having to go up against Tet McMillan or things like that. Now, Barron's a battler, so I'm not concerned about it, but he certainly does not have ideal length at the position. He would be, to me, another super versatile piece in Jeff Hafley's defense. I do think there would be value there, a ton of value there, in fact, at pick 23. I don't quite think he's going to be there, but if he was and they took him, I would be ecstatic. And, you know, if there's any reason that they would pass on him, I think it would be that maybe they felt he's a slot only, or there was just a better defensive lineman available that they wanted to go in that other direction. I would think that he would come in and compete on day one and have a chance to be Green Bay's best corner sooner rather than later. Now let's get to Maxwell Hairston. 5'11", 183-pound corner out of Kentucky, is a redshirt junior. Did miss 5 games this past year with a shoulder injury in 2024. Had a 9.63 relative athletic score. 61st percentile in height, 31st percentile in weight, 93rd percentile vertical jump, 93rd percentile broad jump, 99.9th percentile in the 40 with a 4.28 40. The two closest athletic comps per RAS was Sam Shields and Denzel Ward. And I kind of see it. I mean, I see the speed with Sam Shields. I see the ability to kind of just have the mobility and the smoothness at corner that kind of Denzel Ward had. It's a little bit of both of those things there. You know, kind of take Sam Shields and Denzel Ward and combine them, and you kind of get a little bit of Maxwell Hairston. The other one that comes to mind as well is Nate Wiggins, the corner for the Ravens, who went in the first round last year, had that unbelievable size. I liked Wiggins a little bit more last year, but I like both of these guys. And if anyone was out there being like, man, I really wanted Nate Wiggins and he looked good in Baltimore last year, well, you have the opportunity to go get a very similar player in Maxwell Hairston. Statistically, played 7 games in 2024, 19 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 sack, 1 pick, 1 touchdown for him. And then 4 PBUs and 2 forced fumbles. So despite not playing a ton, did have some pretty nice stats there. In 32 games in his career, has 89 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 6 interceptions. He has 3 pick sixes in his career, which is amazing, 10 pass breakups, and 3 forced fumbles. For PFF, played 297 snaps this past year, 67.0 grade, 56.8 run defense, and 66.1 coverage grade. His grades by year started with a 53.2 as a freshman, 81.8 was probably his best year as a sophomore, and then 67.0 this past year in a injury-riddled junior season. In 2024, he had 142 coverage snaps, was targeted 23 times, gave up 12 receptions, 52.2% completion percentage, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a 74.9 QBR, quarterback rating, NFL quarterback rating. In total, in his career, 591 coverage snaps, targeted 95 times, allowing 58 receptions, a 61.1% completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. At the scouting report from Daniel Jeremiah, Hairston is a lean athletic corner with ideal play speed and fluidity. In press coverage, he incorporates a one-handed jam before turning and carrying vertical routes. He has plenty of speed burst. In off coverage, he likes to settle and catch receivers at the break point. He'll need to play cleaner with his hands down the field at the next level. In Kentucky's defense, he rolled back to play in the middle of the field versus certain formations and motions, but he was late to diagnose and react from that alignment. He's willing in run support and is a dynamic blitzer. He was limited to 7 games this past season due to a shoulder injury, which impacted his tackling. He had a very productive 2023 season with 5 interceptions, but wasn't targeted much in the games that I studied from this past year. Overall, Hairston offers an enticing blend of movement skills and production. So that again was the breakdown per Daniel Jeremiah as I get resituated here. Can you smell it? Springtime is in the air and baseball is officially underway, and you know exactly what that means. It means it's time to add your favorite players from the diamond into your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, first inning runs, take your pick on more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash today. And right now you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's absolutely guaranteed. So do you think Shohei Ohtani will get more than one home run this week? How about Juan Soto more than one hit in his next game? Cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money when you run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Jackson Chourio to stay hot in Milwaukee, and I'm also going to be picking pretty much every hitter against Milwaukee, seeing as their entire pitching staff is on the DL. The best part is that you can download the app today, and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. All right, positives. Again, these are my notes. He has a true blue, no pun intended with him being from Kentucky, but he has a true blue legitimate superpower. I'm not saying save the world superpower, but an NFL worthy superpower. A 4.28 40 is ridiculous. Now, we talked about Jahdae Barron's 4.39 and that it didn't feel like a 4.39. We talked about Matthew Golden's high 40 or his great 40 time, but it didn't quite feel like that. They maybe played slower on tape than what they tested. With Hairston, that is not the case. The 4.28 40 is real and it's spectacular. When you turn on the tape, it is rare that in the SEC, you see someone and you're just like, oh, that's different than everyone else that's on the field. We saw last year with Edgerrin Cooper, and that worked out pretty well for Green Bay. Cooper just moved at a different level than the other players on the field, and it was awesome to watch. Hairston, from a speed standpoint, is very similar just at the corner position. He is moving at a different pace than everyone else on the field. And it is noticeable, and it's crazy because this is the SEC we're talking about here. And Hairston is just flying. As you can imagine, he closes to the ball with incredible pace. I said this the other day. I don't think he quite understands just how good he can be. He's got everything that he needs to be a star in this league at corner. Whether or not he gets there, I don't know. That remains to be seen. But there is so much freaking upside with this player. I love the way that he can change directions. I love the fluidity, unbelievable speed. He has good length with his arms and then bats down a bunch of, you know, passes. There's negatives, which we'll get to. But again, I think the world of him, and I think there is so much that he can accomplish as an NFL player. Not just straight line speed, is a very fluid athlete overall. Like I said, all the traits are there. His blitzing ability off the edge is a very unique trait considering all of that speed that comes along with it. Had 5 picks in 2023, and I did think overall the tape was better in 2023 than it was in 2024. He can be successful in man or zone, press or off, put him in any situation, and he's going to be able to do it. And there, like I said, is a little bit of a smoothness to his game that just feels very natural and like he was born to play corner, which is, again, one of the best compliments I can give. If I give that at any position that looks like you were born to play it, that's usually a pretty damn good sign. Negatives, he's a willing tackler, but he's massively inconsistent, and he is undersized at 180-some pounds. You usually want that a little bit bigger. He needs to do a better job of wrapping up. The top of the route is where things can break down a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily say he's panicky, but the instincts aren't great at that spot. Needs to do a better job of playing in phase, getting that head turn, batting away passes, and not getting caught in compromising situations where he could get called for a pass interference. Needs to do a much better job of that. But overall, I like what he can bring to the table, and I think those are things that you can really teach as time goes on. Let's see what else we have here. Will bite on the cheese a bit too often. He wants to get those big plays. Now, he's got 3 pick sixes in his career, so you can maybe understand why, but sometimes he will bite on that cheese and then get, you know, susceptible to a double move in that situation. Needs to work on the technical aspects of his game. Has that shoulder injury and the size concerns are going to be real. It's great that he's a willing tackler. Does that change if he continues to have shoulder injuries or shoulder issues? And, you know, a la basically Jair Alexander in that situation with this shoulder injury that he had. It's worth noting, if nothing else. Tape, I thought, again, was better in 2023 than it was in 2024. He can get out-muscled during the route or at the catch point. And then there is, some projection to his game. It's not there entirely yet. There is a vision of it, and the vision is beautiful. But whether or not he gets there, that's going to be up to Maxwell Hairston, and that's where you sort of want to evaluate the character, things like that. If you think he has the odds of breaching that ceiling, then you're much more likely to take him. Some notes here. I thought he was one of the more unlucky corners that I ever studied. Some bad penalties called against him. Just some bad beats where he was in great coverage and receivers just made really good plays. It was like the ultimate bad beat. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, I'm like, he's in good coverage, but yet he's being beat. Or like just a play where he makes a great play, but they call a penalty, but it looks like it should not have been called a penalty. Just some hang with them and some bad beats for Max Harrison, plus the injury this past year. Hopefully that's behind him and he can just go out and dominate in 2025, especially if he becomes a member of the Green Bay Packers. Is it worth it at pick 23? Maybe, but I think ideally you would love to move down a handful of picks and maybe pick him up at 28 or 30, somewhere around there, rather than maybe reaching a little bit at pick 23. I do think he'll be there at pick 23. Whether or not Green Bay should take him, I think would be more dependent upon who's there and if they move down or something like that. But I do really like the player. Why would Green Bay potentially pass on him? Tackling issues and just the undersized weight, where they usually look 191, 192 pounds or more. He's 183. Now, the good news is if he puts on some muscle and some strength and it slows him down a tick, let's say he takes a full 10th of a 40 off of that score, he still runs a 4.39 40. So he's going to be just fine from a speed standpoint. Now we'll see if he can put on some muscle when he gets to the weight room. My final thought here is for these two corners in particular, Green Bay might be in a little bit of no man's land, meaning I think there's a good chance Barron goes ahead at 23. And I think there's a really strong chance that, you know, Harrison probably goes somewhere closer to 28 through 40, somewhere in that range. I don't think there's that either of these corners are there specifically at 23 where you're like, yep, that's the move I want to make. But could they move up a little bit for Barron? Maybe. Could they move down a little bit for Harrison? Maybe. If they stay at 23, I would actually argue the pick that I think, and they took a corner, I would actually argue that I think it would be Will Johnson that they would potentially take in that situation. But I digress. Both of these corners are tremendously, tremendously talented. Like I said, from the onset, it was really, really fun to break down both of these players and glad I got to present both of them to you. And if either end up Green Bay Packers, I would be very excited, depending on the circumstances to some extent. But in general, I think I would be more than excited. Make sure to check out, by the way, as we wrap things up here today, make sure to check out the Packaday radio show. I do a radio show Monday through Friday on the Fan of Milwaukee. You can find it on thefan.com or thefanmilwaukee.com or the Odyssey app, which you can get for free. Just look up the Packaday radio show and you can find that out there as well. So if you can't get enough content, I appreciate that a ton. We have obviously a ton of stuff here on the Packaday podcast, but make sure to check out the radio show as well. Right, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Let me know. Would you want Jahdae Barron? Would you want Maxwell Harrison? Do you want both somehow? Do you want neither? Would you rather they go in a different direction or a different corner later in the draft? If so, I would love to hear from you in the comments. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, and Jen Wright. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.